This is attorney David Famininio. The best way to protect ourselves from an accident is to be informed. That's why we started David's Driving Edge, to provide tips and resources to keep us all safe on the road. Go to getdavidgetpaid.com/drivingedge for more information.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
5 o'clock, good to have you with us. If you're looking for Tiger Talk, good luck. Odyssey Rewind, we did it in the opening hour. Can't do anymore. I want to turn our attention back to the Pistons because I thought it was a great discussion on the morning show, but I have a slightly different take. There are three names this weekend that have kind of been linked to the Pistons. Now, we are in silly season in the NBA, but I'm going to do this. For instance, silly report number one is Team A would be interested in Player A if Team B made the player available. That's like saying Kenny would be interested in Margot Robbie if she gets a divorce. I mean, there's a lot of ifs and buts there. So the Pistons would be interested in Kawhi Leonard if he were made available. Okay.
I was wondering where you were going with this.
Okay. And another rumor is a trade package to Philadelphia for Paul George. The third name is...
Well, I know on Paul George.
Playoff Paul is like a more expensive Tobias. Okay. He's 36. He's egregiously paid. Okay. I believe he's signed through 2027-28 on a four-year, $211 million contract. I'm spitballing. Keep the change.
No.
I want no part of that loser.
Okay, that was a little more factual than just noise.
Yeah, but sometimes you read between the lines of my opinions. Okay, the last one is a name and a medical condition. Kyrie Irving, which as
would
it
be?
Well, as it translates to in Italian, penis cancer. I want no part of Kyrie Irving, but Kyrie is signed and he's got 1 year left on his deal plus a player option at about 40 a year. I don't want him anywhere near my team because I experienced it. But now let's zoom back out. Okay. So you've got mid-30s weirdo who had a great season in L.A. in Kawhi Leonard. All NBA honors, 27 points a game, about 8 rebounds, really good defensive player. 1 year left on his deal. You've got Kyrie, one plus an option. Often cancerous, elite ball handler, elite playmaker, also elite detonator of your locker room, okay? Or Paul George. Paul George 5 years ago, maybe. Stretch, you know, long wing, can guard three positions, can shoot the three, etc. Okay. Right. Here's my problem with all three of these suggestions / reports for your Detroit Pistons. They reek of desperation. And this team does not have to be desperate. This is also, again, Rico, the names that I covet and I want. There's two, Lauri Markkanen, Trey Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
End. Now, Kawhi could fascinate, but your problem is he's not here as a part of your core.
He's not.
And you're not going to win the championship getting him.
Well, right now, focus on winning these. How about that?
Okay.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I think you're hearing those names because I think a lot of people, the experts, think how I feel. You could probably get those pieces and not have to give up Thompson, not have to give up Durant.
No, not, Kawhi wouldn't cost you it. Kyrie wouldn't cost you it. And Paul George, let me be very real with you. Paul George is just an older Ja Morant, meaning he's a negative asset. I think, and I've seen a couple of trade packages, the Pistons would get a first-round pick in this deal.
That's what I'm saying. That way, you keep your core players, and you're just adding to them.
But
the people who you want, You have to give up something to get.
Yes, because I want to add to my core. So I have to give up from my core.
I'm with you.
But Paul George, hold on. Here's your big three. Where are you going with this? Cade, PG-13, and Durant. Where's that going? Go watch the movie Thelma and Louise. That's where that's headed. I want no part. Kawhi, you could get me to listen. Why? 1 year, it's $50 million. But you know what Kawhi represents? Kicking the can down the road. You're not re-signing him. Dude's a certified weirdo.
No, he's that hired assassin that you're hoping can get you over the top for one. He's the guy you should have got this year.
So 1 year and then gone.
Yes.
Now, Kyrie on paper would provide everything this team would need to assist Cade in the fourth quarters. Mm-hmm. You're not going to blitz Cade if Kyrie's out there. But Cade also wouldn't be the primary ball handler. Cut down on the turnovers, Kyrie becomes it. Now Cade, the off-ball action, the floor spacing, much better. But the problem for Kyrie, he can't be anyone but who he is, which is a certified problem.
You don't think he could behave himself for one season?
No. No.
Now, is this just the bias for what he did to your Celtics?
Well, first of all, he wanted to have his own team. He gets to go to the Boston Celtics where they have Brown and Tatum and they add Al Horford and it's real. His first move was to throw the kids under a bus. Then he misses a game 7 with what I'll go to my grave with. Oh, a nose surgery. Great. Why didn't you just schedule a colonoscopy for game 7 while you're at it?
It's no surgery.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any of it. So then he gets out of town. Then he goes to Brooklyn, gets his way, gets to play with his besties. This guy's busy burning sage on the sidelines. No, Rico, I don't. I don't buy it.
Okay.
I don't want him near this core. This team loves each other. They play hard.
So you don't think that age and maybe maturity has kicked in for him? And he's not the same guy?
I don't. Maybe I'd be proven wrong. But again, hasn't played ball in 18 months off a catastrophic injury. Really? People, where do you land on this? Because there's two distinctly different lists here. There are the actual names you want, and then it's almost like the patronizing pat on the head list. Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie, Paul George. I want to pay for the premium. I don't want to buy lightly used. Certified pre-owned. The Pistons need to be in the new car market this summer. They need to go out and get a Markkanen or a Trey Murphy and pay to do so.
I'm with you.
But where are Piston fans on? Of those names, what do you want to do? Because I'm still in roster building. I want to get Cade someone who's going to be here the next 3 to 5 years. That's not Kawhi. That's not Paul George, nor would I want him here. And that's not Kyrie.
No, and if you're the Pistons, David and I talked about this pre-show, you take a page out of what the Knicks did. The Knicks didn't fall in love with their players. The Knicks traded and moved players around, and you look at their starting lineup, and none of them originally were Knicks. They all came from someplace else, and that's okay. And it's working out for them. If I'm the Pistons, yeah, I would be entertaining trying to move one of my air quote core pieces because they're not scoring. And you're right. I could look long term if I bring in, you know, a Markkanen. If I could bring in somebody like that, I would. I just don't think that they see things how I see them, how you see them. Whereas all of a sudden Kawhi may be the best option because, well, he's here for a year and maybe we can get him to love Detroit and maybe he'll stick around. But if not, as you say, we'll kick the can down the road.
Can I also say this, Rico? It's important that I understand technology's better. Players are better about caring for themselves. You know you have the load management stuff. And I understand, okay, Kawhi played 65 games this year. He's the king of load management. He's had chronic knee issues. And by the way, Rico, he's 35. So I understand that's not what it used to be. Like, he's not going to look like Bill Walton overnight. But you're not in the market of signing those players. Pay the freight. Get a Trey Murphy who's 26 or a Markkanen who's 29 and let's go do this. I don't like these patronizing, desperate, low-life moves. Where is Paul George taking you? The Sixers, this is Moneyball where Brad Pitt is talking to fake David Justice. This is what the Yankees think of you. They're paying you,
right,
paying me to play against you. I mean, what? I don't want that.
No, I said Kawhi, but.
Okay, yeah. 1 year of Kawhi playing half the season and then locking in for the playoffs potentially. What does it net you when then you have to replace him in a year? You're not re-signing 36-year-old Kawhi Leonard. That's a California guy.
I understand. This
guy doesn't want to be here, just like he didn't want to be in Toronto.
I understand. I don't think they look at moving Durin or Thompson. And that's going to be a problem.
Fine. Then don't get better. I don't care. You're not moving Durin. I know I'm stuck with him. I got to pray to God he stops playing like Angel Reese. And he plays. But Thompson is going to be the ask for any legit high-level guy signed who's in his 20s. It's going to be the ask. What do you think Ron Holland gets you? He was a DNP CD for essentially the whole playoffs.
I think I saw it was Holland, LeVert, and somebody else for Kyrie.
That's what the ESPN article says. Stewart, LeVert, Holland, first-round pick, you get Kyrie.
I would never do it. I'm not doing that. I'm not giving up draft capital for him. And I'm not going to give up guys on value contracts for him. Dallas, you like him so much, you keep him.
And to your point regarding Paul George about the whole money ball thing, it's, yeah, they would be paying to get rid of him because the trade on ESPN says the Philadelphia 76ers would give you a first-round pick.
Because they want out
of the
business.
Yeah, they want out, yeah.
He signed a four-year, $211 million deal that I think he's got three left on. But he played better late in the year. Better compared to what? He's a max player. Hey, no world. The only one I would go with would be Kawhi. If you force me, I'll play ball with you. I'll be totally
and
sincere.
And that way, it's 1 year, Mike, but you can re-up Durin, and then you could re-up Thompson. And
what?
And
in a year have no money and no way to get better. Go ahead.
Well, when you say it like that, of course.
Oh, you mean the truth?
When you say things out loud, of course they sound ridiculous.
Oh, cool. 248-539-9797. What do you guys want? Do you want the cheap Detroit way? Or do you want to actually act like a shark? Do you want to do what, for instance, the team going to the finals is doing? The Knicks did it by going bold. Are they perfect? No. But, guys, I'm sorry. You got to give to get. And if that means I got to give four first-round picks to go get a Trey Murphy, a Markkanen, I'm just saying I wouldn't run to do that, but nothing's off the table. The more players you want to keep, the more picks you have to give. Your picks don't have any value.
So you're saying pull a Mikal Bridges?
I'm saying nothing would be off the table. I would meet about it. I would talk about it. I would have to try.
Okay.
Think about, okay, every year in this league, Trey Murphy's points and rebounds have gone up. Do you know who traded for Trey Murphy? Trajan Langdon in New Orleans. He's signed on what I consider a value deal. He makes $30 million a year. And I'm not telling you some all-world defensive player, but he's got length and size, and you can help, and he can guard three positions effectively. I'm paying for that. And Cade will make him better.
And
he will make Cade better.
And it may be a viable option because, you know, it's like Pistons South down in New Orleans.
Well, it's actually just a place they store morons.
Or Pistons South.
The Pelicans are morons, collectively as a team.
Let's go get Zion.
Okay, 248-539-9797. What do you guys want to do? You've been thinking about upgrading your ride, Moran Buick GMC, one of the biggest selections of Buick and GMC vehicles in the state, including Denali's in stock right now. 26 Sierra four-wheel drive crew cab, $189 a month. A 26 Encore all-wheel drive preferred, $269 a month, $999 down. And when it comes to certified service, Moran makes it easy. You get the free loaner, you go.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim.
Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
I have some Pistons prices, John.
Okay.
Speculation from insiders and people who cover the NBA. This is what it's going to take to keep Jalen Duren. And here's what it's going to take if you want to extend Ausar Thompson this summer. My question to you, one, both, or neither? Ausar Thompson, 5 years, 162. That's 32 a year. That's from Bobby Marks of ESPN. Keith Smith projects Jalen Duren. Keith Smith of Spotrac. Duren at 5 years, 185. That's $37 million a season. One, both, or neither?
So for sure, Ausar Thompson, because he can eliminate or at least minimize other than, you know, Wembanyama or Giannis or, you know, somebody that just greatly outsizes him. He can neutralize an opponent's best player. And it doesn't matter if it's a one, two, three, or four, even some fives. Like, because of his body type and his style of defense, he is a guy that can minimize what some other players can do. I think he is worth it at that price.
Okay, so definitely one.
One. And now, I mean, everybody's going to have the issue with Jalen Duren. The issue is going to be the fact that he disappeared in the playoffs. He was half the player he was in the regular season. And in the regular season, as we've learned, he is all NBA.
Hmm.
At that price, not only do I think the Pistons do it, I think they should.
You could stomach that.
I could stomach that. And he's young enough, and I'm not naive enough to think that, hey, just every year he gets better and better and better until he's all world. But I do think there's a learning curve that he can have in terms of the postseason. Now, teams will still be able to minimize what he can do, but... Here's the issue. With Ausar Thompson, you give him that contract and it's not a requirement to add anybody else. I do think that he can improve offensively. He's never going to be a huge threat offensively. But with Duren, it comes with a catch. Yes, you could give him that contract and he'll perform well, especially through 82 games. Postseason, I do think he can get better. But you also have to add. It can't just be Ausar, Duren, Cade, and let's go win a championship. I don't think that's possible. You have to add another scorer because it's not going to be Duren in the postseason, but I do think Duren gets better if you add another scorer.
Yeah, the problem becomes...
Can you afford it?
Every dollar you spend on them is one less dollar you can spend on this true second banana Robin creator shooter that you put around these guys. The Ausar thing is a no-brainer to me.
Yeah.
I don't care if he never develops a jump shot. He's the best defender the Pistons have had since Ben Wallace. He's one of the great defenders the franchise has ever had. And if he's the current version of himself, he's a huge asset. Duren is where you start to lose me. If Trajan keeps both, it puts the pressure on him to thread the needle to round out the roster and work around what I think could end up being an anchor. I view it very much like the DeAndre Ayton situation. The underlying numbers suggest he is a guy you can easily take away beyond us seeing it for our own eyes. He's a guy that relied on putbacks and pick and roll, rolling to the hoop when Cade got doubled. He shot a ton, the most shots of anybody inside of 5 feet, hardly anything outside of 10 feet. I get very queasy at the idea of paying him. 37 might feel like a deal given what he could get.
Right.
I'm still very nervous about it. Now, if Trajan's got something in the works where he can add a Trey Murphy or he can add this scorer or this shooter and he can tie them all together and we'll pay luxury taxes, okay, there's a way to do it. But Ausar is the one for me, and I think it's hard to pay both.
Yeah, I mean, if I had to pick, I'd pick Ausar. Yeah. And I don't know that even if this deal gets done and it's as presented, I don't know that anyone's going to sit there and say, well, I love that deal. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not sitting here talking about, oh, well, that's a steal. It's not a steal. But I think it's kind of one of those situations because of what he was able to do during the regular season and what I think his potential is if you add that second score and you unclog the middle a little bit.
Yeah. E in Detroit, you got some thoughts? Good morning. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. Go Blue.
Go Blue.
First and foremost, I want to be honest with y'all, man. We got 16 guys in that locker room, including the coach. And I'm going to be honest with you, the Stones has to make a decision. Changing Lightning has to make a decision now. Only three guys is to come back next year, and that's Asar, Kay, and Durham. Everybody else can get traded. I know Tobias getting ready to leave. He can come back maybe, but we need to get some guys in here that can fit that big three. We got a core, but we need a coach. Our coach got out coached last against Cleveland. Brown showed you how to beat them. We need some shooters. They was getting all the free throws, but a three-point shot was falling for New York. If we had a three-point shooter, Duncan Robinson was hurt. His back was hurt, whatever the case may be. We need to go get some shooters. We need to build around those three guys, get Dern in the weight room, teach them some post moves, and those three guys and a coach and some role players. Yeah. We've been in the championship in 2 years.
It's got to be the right guys, and I don't think it's role players. I think you got to add someone with a little more oomph. But Trajan, I'll continue to say it, is set up to do something, whether he pulls it off or not. Caris LeVert's got another year on his deal, which means he's a great piece to throw in a trade for finances. The same thing with Beef Stew and Duncan Robinson. Like, those three combined are on the books next year for $45 million. Mm-hmm. You have picks, all of your picks. There's a way, if you're going to pay your own, okay, but you have to do something around them, or we're going to run into the same brick wall that we did this year.
Straight to the people. Some names out there. I think there's two distinct silos for the Pistons. Boy, the names that came out this weekend. Yikes. It's like the cast of Cocoon. Let's go to, I mean, honestly, it's all like 35, 36. I don't want that. We go to Mike in Ann Arbor, 97.1. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. When I was seeing those come out this weekend, I had the same reaction. I don't want old and rich. Like, there's no way they're going to turn it on in the playoffs to get us all the way through. We're going to be Cleveland with James Harden, who was a kook. We don't need it.
No, I think the only one that makes sense on a skill set, on how he could help you, would be Kawhi. But the problem, again, 35, one-year deal. And I'm sorry, he put a year out there with 65 games this year. This guy's been a walking load management injury guy. I just want to do better.
And he's not going to show up in the playoffs. He might the first two series, but once it starts getting hard, he's going to look at his bank account and be like, I don't need this for the next month. I'm good.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, that's – come on. I don't think that's totally fair either. He is an NBA champion. Let's be very clear, including, you know, game seven, game-winning shots, winning in the finals. Mike, I hear you, but that's more of a generality. But Mike, that's a generality about all athletes now. I mean, let's be very clear. Like, you're right. That impacts some people. But I don't know, man. I don't want to put that on him. Like, oh, he'll what?
Fair.
Pull the plug in the Eastern Conference Finals? No. But I just don't want him because it's a one-year deal. And it just doesn't make sense.
Somebody young. Yeah. And who wants to build and grow.
Well, that's Markkanen and Trey Murphy. And until you get a report that those guys, that you tried everything and you couldn't get them, or, you know, it is legal to trade for players that aren't, quote unquote, in the media cycle of availability.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the money's for, right? That's
kind of a blockbuster. Didn't see that coming.
Yeah. And look, like, people get bent out of shape about, well, you know, why do we have to trade the whole team? No one's saying trade the whole team, but I try to live in the real world. If I'm calling Utah or I'm calling New Orleans for their only high-level trade asset, what do you think that's going to cost? Look, if you can get a Trey Murphy without giving up Ausar Thompson, give Trajan Executive of the Year, A+++++. But I also don't know how you're constructing this, keeping everyone.
Financially, yeah.
Yeah, because ultimately you're going to end up in a place that you can't be, which is you end up in the tax, and the way the league is designed now, it's punitive. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. You guys do whatever you want to do. Go to Drew 97.1. Drew, how you doing, buddy?
What's going on, boys?
Talk to me.
Oh God, what a poo-poo platter of choices we give us here. On the Kawhi Leonard, I say no. On Paul George, I say no. And on Kawhi Irving, I say no. I don't want that guy anywhere near my club. and the marketing and Murphy, out of those two guys, I got to be honest with you. I don't want to be making a trade with Danny Ainge. He's going to gut us, man. He never loses a trade as far as I can see. The Murphy guy, if Thompson is the make or break guy for that move, I mean, you're going to have to make some tough decisions. You pointed out really, really well. You articulated the situation very well, Mike. You have to give up something to get something in return.
Right.
They're not going to just say, oh, yeah, here, give us a bunch of end of the first round picks for the next 4 years. That's not going to work. You know what I mean? If it was a lottery pick, maybe, but no, you're not going to get away with that. You're going to have to give up somebody that you want, that you don't want to lose.
I mean, is it plausible if you, and again, I'm not, Drew, I want to be careful here because people lose their marbles. But, like, is it plausible if you did a Mikal Bridges-style thing, but the picks had no protections? Maybe the other organization gambles that in 3, 4, 5 years you're bad and they land a unicorn pick? I mean, maybe. But I'm just trying to, Drew, I'm offering the only way people are going to get what they want, which is give up less in actual player capital. Then you got to give up more draft capital.
Right.
I mean, maybe the other team, maybe the Pels actually put a little value on the fact that Holland is still young and he can develop into a type of Thompson-type player.
Sure.
I mean, he does have some skills at defense. He does hustle. He's got a lot of heart. He just can't shoot.
No, but I mean, Drew.
To be a guy in the NBA when the object is to put the ball in the basket and you can't shoot very well. I mean, you can develop into a shooter. I get it. But for right now, I'm gonna get real honest with you. I don't think they're doing anything.
No.
I don't think they're doing anything. I think they're going to roll it back, man.
Wow.
It's scary to say that, but I think they're going to let this team cook. Because, I mean, the fact that you just watched Cleveland not even put up a fight against the Knicks, and we lost in game 7. I mean, do you think we could have put up a little bit more resistance to New York if we'd have played? I mean,
yes.
It's just sad that this whole thing is breaking down the way it is, you know?
No, I view it differently. And Drew, we talked about this earlier in the show. I don't like the way the season ended. I love it. I love the fact you got hit with a garbage can in game 7. Wake the F up. Get Cade help. You as fans deserve it. You don't even realize it. I don't care about these fake regular season banners. I want a championship. You see what you're watching? Did you see the team that bombed you in game 7? You see what just happened to them? How about, are you watching the West? Do you see San Antonio and OKC? That's the level. So go get players. I'm glad it happened this way. No, I don't want them to get seduced like the Tigers, who had no business making the playoffs last year. You lose a 15-game lead, you should be banned. But they get seduced. And then I had to listen to Scott Harris tell me how he couldn't sleep at night because how did this great lineup turn into a bad lineup? You know why? Because they're bad. I don't want that.
Yeah, you got seduced because you won a series. So it's like, well, see, look at that. Yeah, we stumbled, but we pulled it all together.
Even they know Wagner's injury is the only reason. I'm not talking to players. Players can't think that way. If you hook Langdon up to a truth machine, he knows. He knows the only reason they got out of the first round. So I ain't trying to do that.
That and historical game 6 that you'll never see again.
No. Go to Joe, 97.1. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Mike. Glad to be on. So here's where I would like to – I'd like to throw out another name, if you don't mind. What would you think about a guy like a Tyler Hero if the Heat try to move him?
Don't love it. I mean, he's a good shooter, not much of a defensive player. He's going to be very costly. Look, I would need – let me answer it this way, Joe, because I want to be fair to you. I would need to see what the rest of the offseason broke down as before I could be like yes or no. I just on surface don't love it. I think they need a wing / stretch 4 to truly have Durin here. If you don't address that, none of the perimeter shooting is going to matter because you need a big that can open things up.
So I'm not, and obviously I know they probably think differently down there. To me, I don't need to keep Jalen Durin. I saw what I needed to see in the playoffs. I don't care about this cute all-NBA, all-star prep. It's the regular season, and I got to give you your flowers, Mike. You said all season long that it it doesn't matter. No one tries in the regular season, and I think that this, well, we were a really good team. They were not a true 60-win team.
No.
But I'm curious, though, because you think we might need to trade a star. Where do you think we can replace his defense? Because I'm kind of skeptical of trading him because I think he brings a lot defensively.
He does.
And I just don't know how you replace that.
You don't. You don't. And Joe, the only way you replace it is kind of in the aggregate where you're getting a player that offensively will take, you know, for instance, your offense in the half court per 100 possessions in the playoffs was about 88 points a game, Joe. That's three and a half points worse than the Brooklyn Nets regular season metric. So for all that defense, that's wondrous. Your half court offense in the playoffs tanked. That's what I'm trying to fix. I can't replace his defense. You replace that collectively with a culture of effort and accountability and yes, defense. But no, I don't listen. None of this is want to. It's want versus need. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them be able to hold on to the kid and still get a player, but I'm trying to
be realistic.
Here, David, before we here, you want to see a trade proposal here for Giannis? Just real quick for all the people. Why do we have to trade the team to get a guy? Here's what a Miami trade would look like for Giannis. Ready? Hero, Khalil Ware, Nikola Jovic, number 13 overall pick, a first and 30, 32, a 31 pick swap, and a 33 pick swap. But get mad at the bad people on the radio for having accurate pricing. No, you're right. Here, I'll go get Lauri Markkanen for a sub sandwich and a deflated tire. Cool.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
That's Bob Nightingale on the Fan in Toronto talking about Scooble. Some of the responses. Two things. One, Spencer Jones is the player from the Yankees organization that we have talked about in the past. If the Tigers go full sale mode, he started the year in Scranton Wilkes-Barre, the International League, AAA, and in 34 games, he hit 12 home runs. He hit .262 with a .991 OPS. He's gotten called up to the major league level. He has 24 at bats, 3 walks, 12 strikeouts, 4 hits. So it's been a, you know, it's been an adjustment, but you know, we're talking about Tarek Skubal here. I did get something sent to me from a Dodger fan, said, "You're not getting Pias." I'm like, okay, that's fine. I always right. Am interested in what a fan base thinks they can give up to get the best pitcher in baseball. Like, what do you think you're going to get him for? Without it being a fan trade, we're going to send you this one prospect and you're going to send us the guy that puts us in firm command of winning the World Series. But, you know, you try and keep it realistic. And I feel if those Dodger prospects are all that, the way Adrian Gonzalez talked about them, then maybe that's the chance that they will take, that one of them can fill a void. But,
well, I mean, you look at who they have. They got Páez and Tucker and Teoscar Hernandez. And that's your outfield with Shohei Ohtani as your DH and Freddie Freeman's at first base and Muncy and Will Smith. It's an all-star team.
I know.
You know, they're not looking to add position players to this team. So if they wanted to add pitching, and I don't know if they want to add pitching or not, but if they do, they can go out and get the biggest gun out there if they want to. I don't know how much the Dodgers want to do that.
Yep.
Because again, we talk about all the time with like the Lions and with other teams, how important it is to have good young players to offset the veteran players that you're paying a ton of money to. And the Dodgers pay more money than anybody else, but they may not care because we've talked before about how they've got this TV deal that's grandfathered in that basically pays for $300 million or plus it covers their entire, you know, payroll. So I don't know if they care or not. But if they don't care, take advantage of it and try to clean up as much as you can. They've got really good prospects, but they're just that. They're still unproven.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys haven't reached AAA yet. They're unproven, but they've got bigger, better names than the other teams do.
Okay. Something I've talked about and talked about quite a bit over the years is postseason awards. And we'll get back to your, there's a lot of Tiger text coming in I want to get to, but what is the appropriate amount of outrage we should have for JB Bickerstaff finishing second in the Coach of the Year voting?
I think there's a fair amount of outrage. I think it's a bit ridiculous because who wins it? The coach of Boston?
Joe Mazzulla. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. They played the season without one of their top players for most of the season. Pistons played plenty of games without their top players. I don't, and the Pistons made a turnaround from 14 to 44 to 60. You know, did JB get snubbed last year?
He didn't win it last year.
Yeah, he got snubbed last year when he go from 14 to 44. Now you double down, you go 44 to 60. Number one seed. All this voting is done before the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. And he's going to lose out to Boston? Look, I mean, how much outrage is there? Should you really be like, shaking your fist at the sky? Of course not. But I just shake my head and say it's ridiculous that he's not. I mean, I think it was the obvious choice that he should have gotten it.
It wasn't particularly close. Joe Mazzulla got 62 first place votes. JB Bickerstaff got 29. Mitch Johnson of San Antonio got 9. Nobody else got a first place vote. 62 to 29. Now, I didn't spend every day watching Celtics basketball. And maybe this guy was a wizard coming out of timeouts all season long. But this feels more like, all right, Celtics coach did a hell of a job. That's the Celtics, man. That's Boston. We've been paying attention. We pay attention to Boston. Oh, and also the Detroit guy wasn't bad. Is this more of a it's just Boston gets people's attention more than Detroit gets people's attention?
Could be. I mean, the Celtics lost in the first round of the playoffs. So obviously this is, you know,
yep.
Voting done
preseason. For you.
But or,
it's before the postseason, yeah.
It could be. It's just more, you know, love for the blue blood that is the Celtics. Mm-hmm. It could be. And I'm not saying that what they did was he did a terrible job. Obviously, did a great job. When you lose Tatum for the year, effectively, I mean, I think he played 16 games at the end of the season, but you had to go on the season without him, and you win 40-something games without him. Okay, that's a nice run. I mean, he's done a heck of a job. But I think to say convincingly that it was a better job than what JB Bickerstaff did with the Pistons, that doesn't make sense to me.
You guys also forgot that Kenny Atkinson won the analytical coach of the year.
Well, you want to know...
Yeah, we should ask Kenny Atkinson.
There is a game five because analytically that's 2-2, so there is a...
Yeah, they're going to keep playing the series. Mm-hmm. Here's a crazy fact, though. Of the last three Piston coaches, the previous two have won NBA Coach of the Year.
As Piston coaches?
No. But Dwayne Casey won it in Toronto and Monty Williams won it in Phoenix. The guy in Detroit... who's done an elite job, better than the two of them did, he hasn't won it. But Dwayne Casey and Monty Williams have the Coach of the Year trophy on their resumes. But this guy, who's overseen this unbelievable turnaround, gets snubbed. I don't know what my outrage should be here.
Well, it is what I mean, I don't think there's a wrong answer. I think if you're super pissed, I mean, go for it. If you're not pissed at all, I'm somewhere in between. I think JB Bickerstaff is the coach here. I would have voted for JB Bickerstaff. Joe Mazzulla obviously is a really good coach too. It's funny to me that they gave the award to a guy who doesn't care about the award at all. Joe Mazzulla said the award's dumb and he doesn't even want it, and then he gets voted to coach of the year. But I'll say this. I hate hypocrisy in anything in life, okay? I've been told all year long by the national media that Detroit is not a good basketball team. Vegas comes out, they're mm-hmm. like the fourth or fifth best odds to win it all, saying basically they're not that good, right? Mm-hmm. If they're not that good and they won 60 games, how the hell did it happen is all I would say. Right? How did they win 60 games? No, this team is not good. They don't have good players. No one respects them, right? They're not on our level. We want them in the playoffs. Then how did they win 60 games? So I just think, like, you know, I think Bickerstaff did get a little screwed here. It is what it is, but we move on.
It's a very valid point. It's apparently an undermanned roster.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what I was told all year.
That won 60 games.
Not that good. Not that respected. They won 60 games over the one seed. How?
One might conclude it's coaching.
Maybe. Maybe coaching has something to do with
it. Sounds like your level of outrage is actually rather high.
I'm giving more ammo to the people that are pissed.
248-539-9797. Well, I do want to ask the Piston fans, how does this happen? How do you think this happens? Why does this happen?
Because they lost a star player for most of the season.
And Detroit was playing shorthanded for a bunch of the season.
Yeah, they played
as well.
Shorthanded, right? But Cade missed his time towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
They played all but 16 games without Jason Tatum, and knowing that ahead of time, and to see that they kept the team afloat magically. You're looking for an answer. I'm going to say that's it, because they still ended up being the second team, the number two seed in the Eastern Conference, despite Jason Tatum only playing 16 games. That's the way they're going to look at it.
Carson Anderson, open lines, 248-539-9797, 97.1.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.